Well, that's what I did with this, and that's how this message came about. And Brother Dennis read it so eloquently, but this is how I read it. All right. Let me get in character. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. I don't know if James was that rough, but that's the way I read it. So today, we're going to talk about your faith on trial.
All right. Good.
Father God, we come before you right now, Lord, just thanking you for this day, Lord. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you would just decrease me and increase you, Lord, that your spirit would just have full reign over me, Lord, that I will say what you want me to say and not say what you don't want me to say, Lord. I pray for every heart, Lord, every ear, that this word would just break through and bless each and every one of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Faith on trial. If y'all didn't think I was crazy before, I'm going to confirm it today. I'm going to let y'all into my world, how I understand things. So today we're actually going to have trial. So I need y'all to use your imagination. Can you use your imagination with me? Is that okay? I need y'all to imagine the courtroom. Y'all going to have to get all this so it works. We got the judge up here. You know, the judge sits up front. Over this side, we have the prosecutors. Y'all see the prosecutor? Y'all see it? Over here, y'all can just give them faces if y'all want. Don't make none of my face stuff. Over here, we have the defense attorney, and we have a guy today who I just made up a name, Ryan. But Ryan himself is not on trial. Ryan's face is on trial.
Okay.
All right. So next to the defense attorney is Ryan's face. And Ryan is just sitting in the audience. Now, when we get to this section in James, he's talking about, you know, people saying they have faith and people showing their faith by their works. So there are two different kind of faiths that I pull out of here. There is a real faith that shows action, and then there is a faith that's just all lip work. So right now, we're going to start trial with the guy who just has the faith that he's just saying he has faith. He doesn't have any works. He's just saying he has faith. y'all gonna really think I'm crazy today. But y'all gonna get it. So the prosecutor brings to the stand financial problems. Swears in. Prosecutor asks, do you recognize anybody in this courtroom? I recognize, yeah, I know Ryan. Do you know the defendant, Ryan's face? Never met him. Well, how do you know Ryan? Well, I met Ryan. I was instructed to come into Ryan's life. And, you know, I was instructed to take some things from him. I took some of his money from his job. He had to trade his car in and get a smaller car. He had to refinance his home. So, you know, I was instructed to come into Ryan's life. And I did all these things to Ryan. So you're saying when you did this to Ryan, you never saw Ryan's faith kick in at any time? I can't say I did. Were you aware that Ryan was a Christian? I knew he said he was a Christian.
Well, I did.
But during the time when I came into his life, he just fell all the way apart. He just broke down. I didn't see any kind of faith at all. He said he believed in God. He said that God was the one that was supposed to provide for him. But when I came into his life, I saw none of that. So you're telling tell me the whole time you was in Ryan's life, you never had a contact with Ryan's faith. I'm telling you, to the best of my knowledge, I never saw Ryan's faith a day in my life.
My God.
No more questions, Your Honor. You may be seated. Now I bring to the stand a person who was in need that knows Ryan.
Uh-oh.
Where is that? How do you know Ryan? Well, me and Ryan are neighbors. He lives a few doors down from me. So on the night in question, what happened with you and Ryan? Well, I was going through some hard times. I mean, I was really, really, really down on my luck. I didn't even really have food to feed me and my family. And I know I always saw Ryan every Sunday morning going to church. And I knew, you know, that people from the church would help people who are in need. So because I saw him, you know, with his suit on, looking all sharp, going to church every Sunday, I figured I might as well ask Ryan. So I go to Ryan to try to get help from Ryan, and Ryan turned me down. Well, what did Ryan say to you? Ryan said, "I'll pray for you." So everything that he believes in the Word of God about feeding the needy and everything that Jesus said about when you do it to the least of mine, you did it unto me. You're saying Ryan didn't do any of that? I'm saying Ryan didn't do any of that. The way he treated me was like he didn't have any kind of faith in God at all. So you never met Ryan's faith in God that will cause him to give somebody that needs something that they need. To the best of my knowledge, I have never saw Ryan's faith. No more questions, Your Honor. One last witness we bring to the stand. We bring Ryan's flesh. Do you know Ryan? Yeah, I know Ryan. That's my boy. I knew Ryan a long time. We go way back. You know, we getting high, smoking, partying, drinking. You know, we just do it all. So what about Ryan becoming Christian? I remember that day. Ryan wanted to go to church, you know. He went to church, he heard the message, and, you know, he's like, "I want to get saved." So Ryan walked down the aisle, preacher touched Ryan. Ryan lay on the floor like a little punk. Crying, this and that. But you know, I talked to other fleshes, and I heard that sometimes, like, when somebody do that, it's some kind of wrestling, some war that's supposed to be taking place or whatever. So Ryan, you know, we went to sleep. The next morning, I get up, you know, I'm expecting, you know, I'm stretching, you know, I'm doing all this because I think I might have to fight, you know. I get up the next morning, and then the course of the next week, the next month, I ain't had to wrestle nobody. I still had Ryan going everywhere I wanted him to go. I still had Ryan doing everything I wanted him to do. Ryan wrapped around my finger. So you're telling me the faith that's supposed to have Ryan to cling to to walk in the newness of life and to take off the old man and to put on Christ, you never saw that? I never saw none of that. Ryan's faith in who? Me? That's the only faith I might have saw. I never saw no faith in no God. Nah, I got Ryan wrapped around my finger. So you're telling me, to the best of your knowledge, you have never saw Ryan's faith? Ryan ain't got no faith. No questions. Now that is somebody who says they have faith, but have no action. Because when your faith is on trial, it's more than just your works. It's all about your faith all the way around the board.
Well,
so we dealt with life circumstances. Then we dealt with the works that we're supposed to be helping somebody. And then we dealt with your faith in Jesus that's going to cause you to control your flesh.
All right.
Now we're going to have trial with somebody who has faith and works. Defense attorney, stands up. I bring to the stand financial problems. Do you see anybody here today that you know financial problems? Yeah, I know Ryan's faith. How did you come in contact with Ryan and Ryan's faith? Well, I was instructed to come into Ryan's life and take certain things from Ryan and made him had to refinance his house, and Ryan had to take his car back, get a smaller car. You know, Ryan couldn't really pay his bills too well, you know, and that's how I got to know Ryan. So how did you get to know Ryan's faith? See, that's the funny part. You see, when I did all that to Ryan, you know, I'm used to people just falling apart. I'm used to people just breaking down and being depressed and crying, but he kept saying, like, little sayings to me that I didn't understand. You know, he was saying things like, my God shall supply my needs according to his riches and glory. He kept saying things like, I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. And he kept saying stuff like, you know, a thousand cattle on the hill all belong to his father. And then he just kept going on and on and on about his father. Now, I'm like, I want to meet the father. So when you came in contact with Ryan, you came in contact with his faith. I know Ryan's faith well. Ryan's faith, as soon as I got into Ryan's life, Ryan's faith kicked right in. It hit Ryan for a second, but when his faith kicked in, his faith activated, his faith started saying these words. I have no clue what they are, but all I know is by the time he got finished with the words that he was saying, I wanted to know his father. No more questions. Defense attorney, y'all don't bring to the stand a person in need. A person that's need. Do you see anybody you know here today? Ryan? Yeah, Ryan's face. How did you come in contact with Ryan? Well, you know, one time I was really down on my luck. You know, lost most of my money. Couldn't barely pay my bills. And really didn't have the money to buy food for me and my family. So I know I saw Ryan, and Ryan was always going to church on Sundays, all sharp, all dressed up. And I always hear things about Christians, like the Christians help people. So I figured to myself, I might as well ask Ryan. So I go to Ryan, and I start talking to Ryan. Lo and behold, I come to find out, Ryan got the same exact problems that I got. But as strange as it wasn't affecting him the way it was affecting me. That's how I got to know Ryan's faith, because Ryan's faith started to talk to me and show me that even though he might not have it, God is not going to let him be overtaken by this situation. So after I met Ryan, I met Ryan's faith immediately. His faith kicked right in. He gave me need, and then he started talking about this father, who was going to supply and who gave him the love inside of him to want to give to me, even in his need. So I wanted to get to know his father.
Come on now.
So you mean when you met Ryan's faith immediately. I met Ryan's faith. I know Ryan's faith really well. No further questions.
This is funny to me. I'm talking to myself.
I bring to the stand Ryan's flesh. Is everything okay?
Yes.
Did somebody intimidate you?
Yes.
Who intimidated you?
The defendant.
When did you come in contact with the defendant?
Well, me and Ryan was friends a long time. We went way back.
Let me laugh, y'all. This is serious.
We go back a long time. Me and Ryan, we used to get high together. We used to be everywhere drinking, smoking, partying. We were just doing everything, you know, that I wanted to do. My flesh with the flesh. I had him. You know, we was doing everything. Whatever I wanted, I said, come on, Ryan, let's do it. And we did it. So one day, Ryan wasn't going to church. So Ryan go to church, man. He's sitting in the pew, and Ryan, like, he wanted to see you. I said, all right, you know, we're going to try something new. I know I got Ryan, so I'm not worried about this getting saved stuff. So Ryan. Ryan walked down front. Preacher laid his hands on Ryan. Fall, I fall. Like something hit me. He ain't touched me. He touched Ryan. Why I fall? So the next day. I wake up with Ryan. Come on, Ryan. Let's go in. So as soon as I try to tell Ryan, let's go in, something just grabbed me. Something just grabbed me and started trying to push me down and suppress me. So I'm fighting. We are wrestling. And then he starts saying some name. Did he say the name of Jesus? No, don't say that name. So when he starts saying that name, now I'm wrestling. I'm already wrestling. You know, now it's somebody else wrestling me. With me too. So now it's Ryan's spirit, and now it's the Holy Spirit, and they jumping me. They jumping me, and now I can't get Ryan to do nothing I want Ryan to do. It's like I don't even exist no more. So you came in contact with Ryan Smith. I don't like Ryan Smith. Ryan Smith is a bully, and he don't want me to get Ryan to do nothing that's fun no more. So you're saying Ryan's face kicked you out? Yes. No further questions, Your Honor. I got issues, I know, y'all. This is how I understand stuff. It's a big difference between the faiths. It's a big difference between a faith that just says I have faith and a faith that shows that you have faith. Because when you really have faith, those same three situations will be looked at and dealt with differently.
Come on.
Because when you do actually have real faith, those financial problems, those situations will not be able to overtake you. When you really do have real faith, that person that is in need, you will go ahead and help that person in need. When you really have real faith, your flesh might wrestle with you a little bit, but with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit, you will overcome the... I promise no more characters. When we get in James chapter 2, starting at verse 14, it's a passage of scripture that, you know, people challenge a lot. Because James begins to talk about faith, and then he attaches works to it. And then they're like, oh, no, he contradicting Paul. Paul said, we only saved by grace. How you going to bring works in it? But even Paul, when he said we were saved by grace, never abolish doing the right thing or living for God. Because he said, well, what shall we say then? Mm-hmm. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How are we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? So even Paul was letting you know, yeah, we saved by grace, but there's still some certain things that we got to do. But everything in this passage, it really comes together when you read the first part of verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? The operative word here is say. It would have been a whole different story if he said, what does it profit if you have faith? No. James is not talking about somebody who actually has faith. James is talking about somebody who's just saying it.
There you go.
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith? And not works. Can faith save him? Now, that should be better translated. Can that faith save him?
That's right. Amen.
Can that faith that all you do is talk actually save him? Can that faith that you're not really connected to Jesus save him? Can that faith where you ain't doing nothing that Jesus told you to do save him? That is the question.
Hallelujah.
If a man say he has faith. See, faith is just like any other belief, conviction, or feeling. It's invisible. I can't look at you and see your faith. But it's like love. And how many times have we heard somebody tell somebody they love them, and their response is, well, you ain't acting like it.
Well.
You say you love me, but I can't tell by your actions that you love me.
Fix it up.
But when you really love somebody, things are different. When you really love somebody, you're not on an all-out quest to prove that you love them, but because you love them, you find yourself doing the strangest things.
Go ahead.
Because you love them, you find yourself wanting to do everything for this person. Because you love them, you find yourself wanting to be around this person and be intimate with this person. Because you love this person, you want to be everything for that person because of your love. Not that you're trying to prove it, but because you love them, these things just happen. But if you ever come to the point where you want me to prove my love, the proof is already in the pudding.
All right.
Because everything I'm doing is already there. So when I say I love you, you already know I love you. Even if I didn't tell you I loved you from my actions, you already knew I loved you.
All right.
And that's how it is with faith.
Fix it up.
Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. If we really got faith in Jesus, there are certain things we are going to do because of our faith. We were talking about this in Bible study the other night, and Sister Sherry asked me a question. So she's like, all right, if we only saved by grace, then are we doing all these things to be saved? Or like, why do we have to do these things? And what I kind of found out is most questions we have about our relationship with God, you can find an answer with just your children. So I said, well, you have children.
Yeah.
I said, there are certain things your children are going to do along the course of their life because you are their parent. Nothing that they are doing is to become your child. They are already your child, but because they are your child, they're going to do certain things. Because there are certain parts of you that are in your child that's going to cause your child to do certain things. You see, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we get indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a part of God that's in us. And the part of God that's in us, the things that we are doing are not to belong to Him because we are already adopted into His family, but the things that we are doing is because those parts of God are already in me. You see, if the love of Christ is in you, the love of Christ is going to come out of you. If the compassion of Christ is in you, the compassion of Christ is going to come out of you. If the mind of Christ is in you, you're going to be acting like Christ. You're going to be talking like Christ. You're going to be walking like Christ.
Yeah.
Not because you're trying to belong, but just because you're connected.
Yeah, that's right.
Faith. Can that faith save him? Can a fake faith save him? That's like going to a fake doctor. And think you're going to get healed. You can have a real death.
Let's pray, y'all.
But the faith and works thing was clarified to me so great by my brother Dennis back there. And he said faith and works is like a movie ticket. Perforated in the middle. One side says faith. The other side says works. Under works, it says, not valid for admission. And under faith, it says, void if detached.
That's right. Come on. Pick it up. Right.
You got it?
Yeah.
Brilliant man. So your faith detached from your works is not going to get you saved. And your works detached from a faith is not going to have you saved. So you got to have both, because if you have faith, you will have works. There's no doubt about it. These things are like the fruit of the Spirit. You see, if you are connected to the vine, there are some things that are going to grow up out of you, and you might not even notice it. You're just going to all of a sudden start acting different, start changing. I was telling them the other night in Bible study about how, you know, I was long gone. That would happen. I ain't have too much compassion on nobody. Like, whatever happened. I don't care. So, after I got saved and everything, I'm in my car one day, and I'm listening to the radio, like, WDS or something. They was paying through bills. No, give us people money for Christmas. So, some lady, she called them, and they had to write in letters, you know, to get the person to get the money. So the lady, they read the lady letter. She was trying to get her friend some money. And the letter was so sad. And I started tearing up in my eye. And I was like, what's wrong? Straighten up. I never tried to have compassion. I never thought about having compassion. I never wanted compassion. But the fact that I was walking with Christ for so long, compassion just happened. You see, it's not that I was trying to belong. It's because I belong to Him that the compassion just came out of me.
Don't y'all tell nobody I cried over the radio. Brother Dennis, delete that part off the CD.
Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does your faith profit? That's what it is. What does it profit? That lip service faith. What does your lip service faith profit when somebody out there is in need?
Jesus.
Say, you were standing before the judgment seat, and Jesus was all lip service. What if Jesus was all lip service? Oh, yeah, I'm going to come down there and die for y'all. I'll be down there. Yeah, Calvary, I'm going to be on the cross. But he never did it.
Come on, fix it up.
What if Jesus was all lip service? What kind of, y'all know where we would be at, right? And we got to be like him because he wasn't lip service. He was obedient unto death for us. For people who didn't even love him, people who didn't care about him, people who blasphemed against him, he came down and died for each and every one of us because he was not about lip service, because when you are really connected to the Father, you are going to do certain things.
My God.
Our faith. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yeah, man may say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And that's what I was saying about the love thing. If you want to see my faith, see what I'm doing. Don't listen to me. Watch me. I'm not going to tell you all about my faith. I'm not going to write a book. I'm not going to do a music song about it. But if you watch me long enough, you're going to see my faith in God. And every day the devil is that prosecutor. He's that prosecutor calling these witnesses up against us. But it's our duty to allow our faith to be as the second person than the first person. Our circumstances got to know our faith. The people around us got to know our faith. Our flesh got to know our faith. Because our faith is what's going to give us the power to overcome all those things. Jesus let us know, in this world we will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Meaning, if you have faith in me, you can overcome the world also. In fact, in 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And the victory that overcometh the world is even by our faith. So we got to build our faith up. We got to stay in His word. We got to stay in the church. We got to stay in prayer. We got to fast sometimes. We got to get back in the word. We got to get back in church. We got to fast sometimes. We got to get back in the word. We got to get back in church. We got to fast sometimes. We got to get in this word so this word becomes a part of us so the word can come out of us. And once that word is in you, you might not know you know the word like that. But as soon as something happens, you just might fall and the word just starts to fall out of your mouth.
But the thing is, you see, when the word comes out of your mouth, the Lord said his word is not going to come back void. See, so you got to put the word out. See, you got to have the faith to get that word to come out of your mouth. And once that word comes out of your mouth, God said, my word not going to come back void. So as long as you're speaking my word over that situation, I got you. Because I am my word. So if my word don't come to pass, I'm not, but I am. You say. That's the word that James keeps using. A man say. Don't just say, y'all. Us, we can't just say we have faith.
My God.
We can't just say we believe in Jesus. You see, some things are better left unsaid.
Amen.
There's no need to say it. For what? Do you want some kind of praise from men?
Well.
What do you want? You want to look good in church by talking about how much faith you got? I got faith to move mountains. So when that mountain comes, you under it like this.
My God.
Lip service. But when our faith is on trial, we can be the one that our problems know our faith. We can be the one that the community know our faith. We can be the one that our flesh know our faith. Right. One thing that Pastor always says is, you don't have to tell everybody that you're a Christian, but if they find out that you are, they shouldn't be surprised.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Meaning, they saw your walk, and then when somebody said, yeah, he's Christian, he said, oh, I kind of figured that.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't got to tell you, I just got to do it. And that's what real faith is all about. So you show me your faith. That's only lip service. I just want to see it. Faith was invisible. Nobody even knew faith when it was just lip service. But you know what? I'm going to show you my faith by my works.
Hallelujah.
You believe in God? The devil believe in God more than you. He knowing.
Hallelujah.
It's not enough to just understand the concept of God. It's not enough to just believe in a higher power. That's a lot of people say nowadays. Well, I believe there is a God. It got to be a relationship.
Amen.
It got to be a connection. And you have to be adopted into that family.
Amen.
You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to get that blood that's going to cover your life for when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Only thing God is going to see is his perfect son. The blood covered on you. And then he's not going to judge you by your works because your works were covered in the blood.
My God.
But it has to be a real relationship. And he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without actually backing it up is dead. If you really connected to Jesus, you can overcome all things.
My God.
If you really connected to Jesus, there's nothing you can't do. Jesus said, with man, yeah, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So if you have that faith that's connected to Jesus, that's connected to the Father, and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you understand that greater is he that is in you. You understand that God can do all things. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think according to that power in us. But we got to be connected. If we're not connected to the vine, we don't have that power. But if we're connected to that power source, we got a power unlike anything in this universe. We got a power that nobody can stop. We got a power that the enemy can't stop. We got a power that no demons can stop. We got a power that our own flesh can't stop because we die to ourselves and we live in him. But we got to accept Jesus first. We got to really be connected to him first. So as we stand all over God's house, is there anybody that would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that want to really be connected?